Hello, I'm Peter Jun Ho Sang, founder and CEO of Beyond Form. With online shopping increasing in a technology-dependent world, there needed to be a way for customers to still feel as though they were shopping in a physical store. In this episode, I'm joined by Sergey Arkhangelsky, CEO of OneUp. OneUp specializes in virtual try-on, or VTO for short, and is quickly becoming a foundational tool for fashion e-commerce by combining powerful AI and AR to increase and attract engagement across multiple platforms. It's a contactless yet tangible alternative to going in store, and many brands agree, with OneUp's impressive client list including Dolce & Gabbana, Gucci, and Farfetch.
As I said, luxury is about storytelling and generating interest and the desire to own. And VTO is actually a perfect digital tool for this.
So please enjoy this episode as we welcome Sergey to the podcast. Hello, listeners. So it's Peter Jun Ho Sang here, your host for today's episode of Venturing into Fashion Tech. Today, we're going to be talking about virtual try-ons, and we're going to be joined by our guest, CEO Sergey Arkhangelsky, CEO of OneUp.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me, Peter.
So just before we get into the conversation, I'm just going to give us a little bit of context about virtual try-on, or VTO for short. So thinking about the global virtual fitting room market size, it's currently estimated at around $4.86 billion US dollars in 2023, and apparently is going to be growing to $15 billion or thereabouts by 2029, according to Statista, and that was released March this year. According to Fortune Business Insights, 71% of consumers shop more with brands that integrate AR into their shopping journey. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on, Sergey, especially with your partnership with Farfetch, which obviously they acquired you last year. So first of all, congratulations for that. And we'll dive a bit deeper into that a little bit later on. And whilst we're on the subject of Farfetch, I just want to set the scene with a quote, actually, from Carol Hilsum, Senior Director of Product Innovation at Farfetch, which I believe you work very closely with, Sergey. Mm-hmm. But just as a quote from Carol, it's about evolving and elevating the shopping experience, adapting the digital for the traditional luxury shopper. Shopping in alternate realities can be tactile and beautiful, and fast progressing technology is becoming more able to support and enrich the luxury experience. So with that as a backdrop for today's conversation, Sergey, I want to know more about you as a founder. So how did you get into fashion tech?
Well, this is an interesting story because like I never targeted to get into the fashion, to be honest, because I myself as an engineer and was like for a very long time. I used to work at Google for 10 years as a software engineer in different areas, including search ranking. And so when I left Google, I had this entrepreneurial ambitions, and I was interested more in doing great technology rather than like fashion or something there. And one thing which stood out then is that with the computer vision progress, with deep learning and all this stuff, which still ongoing, this revolution, it became possible to run real-time some algorithm on phones. And this unlocked the opportunity for try-on of the different items. And so this was the idea, like, can we, with the AR, help e-commerce? And it happened that probably the first line which we started developing our technology was shoes and sneakers in particular. And this is like when first our focus was on the technology itself to make it working fast, to make it quite stable, to make it so that people love it. But then once we launched it in early 2019 and started working with different companies, we understood this has to be business. And this is how we started working with more and more fashion brands, so with luxury brands. And this is how I get into the fashion itself. And from like being just engineer running after cool technology, being a CEO who has to run sales as well and the partnerships and talking with top brands.
And how did it feel like going from a technical background into suddenly this world of fashion, which is very different to engineering, for example?
Interesting question. So on one hand, it's a business, right? And so like I need to understand the customers, what they need, what the problems they have, how we can help them to solve it with the solutions we have at hand, et cetera. On the other hand, like I pretty quickly realized that the fashion business itself is about the storytelling and telling compelling story to the customers, explaining why some particular product line or brand, how it stands out from the pack, what makes it different, and making people really wanting to join this brand and this like to represent themselves for that. And this is like the storytelling, the thing which I'm not very good at. I'm good in tech, as I said. And this is what I started to appreciate, because like this is those are the skills which I don't have, and obviously these are the bread and butter of fashion brands. So I mean, like currently I have this very healthy respect, I think, as well as the healthy respect from fashion brands to the technology companies.
Absolutely. So for our listeners that might not be aware, what is WANNA exactly?
So WANNA is a company currently, as I said, it's a part of Farfetch, which essentially is an expert and the advisor of the fashion industry in digital fashion transformation. So like we will dive deeper in how it's related to video, but at the end of the day, what we see is that 3D revolutionizes the many, many processes and many, many touch points within fashion industry. And this customer engagement is just one of them. And this 3D is just essentially digitalization of the workflow, which I mean happened for many other industries like 10 years ago, but only currently happens in fashion. And we also see that fashion brands, particularly in luxury, need some expertise, need someone who understands how 3D works and understands like what are the experiences that work or not to guide them through and to have educated opinion there. So in one, I have this expertise, we have these experiences working with multiple brands, and we have this understanding of fashion, and we help brands to extract as much as they want from 3D, with a particular focus on video and 3D viewing experiences, which is more about like virtual merchandising and communicating with customers.
Absolutely. So then for you as a founder, what came first, your fascination with like 3D and virtual try-on, or was it very much about finding the pain point for the fashion industry first and then coming up with the tech? Which way around was it?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, it's probably not the it's not what they write in articles for founders. Like everybody says, you have to start with the problem, but we started with the passion to the technology. But we were very diligent in understanding the business and pain points of customers, and focusing on that rather than just on the technology. But yeah, I'll be honest, my passion to technology was the first.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing. A lot of the startup founders that I work with, the technology does interest them first, and most of them come from outside of the fashion industry, just like yourself. The industry is just so opaque, it's very difficult to get your foot in the door and to get people talking to you. So quite often, with innovations such as yours, it's about that innovation coming first, shall we say, before really then matching up to the industry. Having said that, though, you've obviously made it work and you have some very big clients under your roster. So for example, you have Gucci, you have Valentino, you have JW Anderson, Piaget, Alexander McQueen, and Dolce and Gabbana, just to name a few. We'll get into Farfetch later, but just some of your luxury standalone brands there. That's quite an impressive list. So why did they choose to work with you? What potential do they see in virtual try-ons?
Good question. So, as I said, luxury is about storytelling and generating interest and the desire to own. And VTO is actually a perfect digital tool for this. So, even before COVID hit, it was It was a very good tool to communicate with the digital native generation, which is like very often called Gen Z, on the this interactive digital way that they understand and like. So in this sense, it's proved to be a very good tool in this. And also Vitio allows what I call digital merchandising, which essentially is the way how you present your goods to the customers, right? So when you walk into the store, you have like very deliberately and consciously arranged products. You have like different areas, zoning and stuff, like everything works to emphasize the products there, which is very hard to achieve in digital channels just because they're very, very like, I would say simple. And Vitio is definitely the one which can elevate this experience in 3D, which is crucial for brands and crucial for compelling storytelling that brands want. So I think this is the essence of why we managed to build those relationships with luxury brands. And as I said, like now, as our relationship grow, we also help with, I mean, additional new products like watches training on, like 3D viewing for bags and for other categories. We're about to launch video clothes try on like really soon. Also we built very brilliant capabilities on 3D digitalization. I mean, we are capable of producing very high quality 3D assets, which is very important for luxury customers and for luxury brands on scale. And this is something which is like not easy. It requires some work.
And you mentioned that obviously the quality of the 3D asset is important. So, for example, when you're working or talking to your luxury brands, what do they expect versus what you can actually produce at the moment? And do you think, because from my experience, the luxury brands, they expect everything to be super slick and super polished, but often with newer technologies like that, that isn't necessarily possible at this moment in time with the technologies out there. So like, how does that conversation normally come about?
Oh yeah, totally. This is actually very interesting about luxury industry because they'd rather have nothing than something which is not superb. Particularly with the jewelry, it's challenging. Like we progress a lot, but still sometimes we have a hard time to build the assets that satisfy customers. I think the clue here is just to listen and to also explain some limitations. So right, when you have anything which is working on AI, it can happen that your technology breaks like sometimes, right? So no one can guarantee 100 accuracy, but trying to educate customers on that topics is I think important. So you need to try to build a dialogue. But like overall, yes, the sentiment is pretty much the same. We'd rather have nothing than something which we don't like. And there is no way just to make it work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for our listeners that are from startups that are trying to get into luxury brands, I think that's quite an important insight because quite often I find that they really underestimate kind of that psychology that you're talking about, where they prefer to have nothing rather than something that's not up to standard or scratch. And they feel that they can just kind of like walk into a luxury brand and sell what they have. And I think it's quite important to understand that nuance. However, I think just going back to your origin story, Sergey, so from my understanding, you started out in a venture studio, very much like Moonform, with a company called Palta. How did that come about and how did the relationship start?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, when I quit Google, as I said, I had this ambitions. And so like I was looking for doing some cool technical stuff around computer vision. And so I met the founding partners of Palta, who had actually great experiences with exits, with technological exits in computer vision, including filter startup Mascarade, acquired by Facebook. Back then it was Facebook. I think it was 2016 or 2017. And also the company called AI Matter, which was acquired by Google in 2017, which developed the technology to inference the neural networks on the on the phones. So I met them, the founders, and they had a great track of record. And overall, like I liked how they communicate, how the our relationships built. And so I felt I need some support that time, in terms of not only in terms of financing, but also in terms of connections to the industry and like overall like business thinking. Because as I said, I came from engineering background. And wasn't probably still not very good at sales. So this is how it's end up working, and I think it worked really, really well.
And then what moment did they think, okay, Mona is strong enough to spin out of the studio? Or were they there until you actually were acquired by Farfetch?
Yeah, I mean it's I think the acquisition was the time there. So like definitely when with the business grew, we didn't require that much of I mean like fostering from them, but definitely the strategy and some kind of support with the connections in the industry was really needed. And I think they were my like the trusted advisors and someone who helped me in the pitfalls of the entrepreneurial journeys and with some like hard moments which we had a few.
Well, that's part and parcel, I think, with entrepreneurship. There's no way you're gonna chasing away from running away, shall we say, from those difficult parts. And then in terms of the venture studio itself, like, what would you recommend, like a founder that is recommend to a founder that is looking to get into a venture studio of some kind?
Well, I think the most important is to get familiar with the people who you're going to work with the venture studio and trying to understand like whether you can have like long-standing relationships and trust there, because this is like your co-founder to some extent. And you need to understand not only like the some people which you're going to work with, right? And probably the partners there. Try to understand the like incentives, how they think, like how strategically they operate, and just yeah, take spend some time, try to build trust. This is like very important. This is very important.
I like that. I think that keyword there is trust. Certainly when I'm working with my founders, that trust element is just so important to keep on moving. A very fragile startup, all early stage startups are very fragile at the start. And that trust is absolutely needed to just strengthen the relationship and make sure that the whole thing keeps moving. So, from your origin story working with Palta and how you came to life to the moment you were acquired by Farfetch with just under $30 million, so just a bit of pocket change for you guys in 2022, last year. So, which is obviously every entrepreneur's dream is to have an exit of some sort, and you obviously were acquired by Farfetch. How did that partnership come about? How did you navigate it to an acquisition?
Farfetch was a customer of ours. So we started relationships in the middle end of 2019, doing first POC with Farfetch China. And then within 2020, launching it on Farfetch application itself. So I think there are several key things in how our relationships developed. The first one is that VTO works, and it has proven like good impact on financial metrics for Farfetch. So they just observed the good impact there, which is like a good. Definitely very important. Second, by that time, we already had the relationships with many luxury brands, which is also like proof of quality and proof of product itself. And given that Farfetch has its own B2B business called Farfetch Platform Solutions, which provide a platform for luxury brands and retailers to do e-commerce and like operations there, this is was part of this like strategic movement into this direction. So we really like proved that we can work with the luxury businesses and luxury brands. And like overall, I think we get some aha moment in just relationships, because they, as they told me later, they liked how we interacted with them, how we managed them as a customer. That, for example, at least one time in our relationships, we drew their attention to the quality of assets which were produced by different people, not by us. Mm-hmm. And they really liked that we focused on the quality there. And like didn't get the things which we didn't like to go into production. So, and we also liked how Farfetch operates, because like comparing to many other customers we had, they were like really quick in delivery. And then I think this was the base for our future acquisition.
Absolutely. So just going back to my earlier quote from Carol, on how she talks about adapting the digital for the traditional luxury shoppers. So were you part of that strategy then for elevating that experience?
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty simple. So we currently, after acquisition, we work on increasing the number of products which are available in 3D video and 3D viewing, and there are already, I think, thousands of products in different categories which are available there, and more to come. And I think this strategy here is that, as I said earlier, VTO and 3D is a way how to create this luxury experience in digital, in applications and websites, and this is what we do brilliantly at Warner. On top of that, we keep working on introducing new experiences. So already after acquisition, we did the 3D viewing experience for bags, which tries to solve the sizing problem. You can go to Farfetch and check it yourself. But like overall, expand the coverage of this 3D experience. With a very high quality assets, true to life experience. So this is like the second pillar on top of just 3D digitalization, how we can expand the experiences, the touch points for customers with products in 3D.
Yeah. And how did they tell you that they were going to acquire you? Was it by email, by telephone? How did you feel in that moment?
So we had a champion. She was just managing our really relationships with Farfetch. And she said, like, we might consider, guys, we could acquire you. Is it something you're potentially interested? And we said, like, let us think for a moment, but probably, yes, let's just move forward. Let's see what's going on next. And then the ball was on their side, and this is it.
You make it sound so easy, Sergey, to get acquired.
I think it's pretty much similar to some extent. You can compare it to marriage, right? So when you marry someone, you just have to say yes a couple of times, right? But the truth is that what was before that is important, and like what led you there. But I think comparing to marriage, the overall process of acquisition and all like the work with the legal documents and stuff was quite demanding for myself. So mm-hmm. it wasn't easy. Yeah.
Yeah. And then has your team grown since? How does it work now? Like, so you're fully consumed by the Farfetch team, or is one still a standalone team? How does it work from that perspective?
Yeah. So we currently work as a business unit in Farfetch. So we very actively work with teams within Farfetch, including the Farfetch application and website with FPS, which is like this B2B proposition Farfetch has, and many others, like including operations on the digitization side. We keep our brand, and we will keep our brand because it's already recognized in the luxury industry. But just like openly, when we talk with the new customers or existing customers, we say, yes, we are part of Farfetch. So like overall, sometimes we do combined pitches with the group. So in this sense, we are like getting integrated, but we still keep this brand and identity, though like being the part of the larger company.
Yeah, absolutely. So then what do you think is going to be the future of virtual try-ons?
It's already something which customers expect. Not always, but surprisingly, maybe a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, we started to getting the inbound requests when people were saying, like, our customers want us to have video. Let's talk about this. And I was recently like reflecting on the future and like overall where it goes. And the one thing which is really clear is that, as I said, 3D really changes the way how user experience in fashion works. And video and 3D viewing are just taking its part together with imagery, right? So we still have 2D imagery and we will have it. It takes its part in this digital merchandising and how we present goods to our customers. And I think it's not maybe related to the DTO itself, but I see that 3D will change the way how the even 2D content production produced. So I think in very limited time frame, maybe 1-2 years, most of the 2D images you will see on the websites, on the fashion websites, will be generated from 3D. Well, they won't be photo shoot as they are now. And I think VTO is just part of this 3D revolution, what I call digital fashion transformation, and it's proven its place in this digital merchandising already, but it's going to change it even like the basic things like photo shooting, right?
And then in terms of the hardware or the technology, what limitations are there at the moment because of how the tech is at the moment?
So I think like there are different kind of limitations there. So the one which the first one I think of is actually in the content production, right? So the thing here is if we want to have BTO experience covering big part of the catalog, we need to have assets, and assets are producing assets costs money. And we see that like year over year, maybe even like 2 years over 2 years, we see that the quality of assets and their increase and the costs decrease. But this is still not there, and this will progress. And particularly there are like some demanding materials like gems, for example, or metals, which are hard to scan with physical scanners. And so the question is, how do we scale the content production in a like capital conscious way, which is apparently a very important topic, right? So everybody thinks about their expenses. It's one of the limitations. I think with the technology and with adoption of brands adopting digital first production, it's going to be solved, right? So we'll have 3D assets, more and more 3D assets, which created on the design phase and which can be reused later in the user experience stage. So this is one challenge. The second challenge is technological. So particularly now when we are close to launching Closed VTO, the body is a very versatile beast, and it's hard to track it, right? Particularly in corner cases. So in the basic cases, it works, but I mean the task is pretty complex. And how do you model the fabric, the movement of fabric? this is still like not solved. Those problems are still unsolved, and it requires more and more energy there. So those are the technical challenges. I think they will fall. I mean, like these castles will fall with time, just because the compute power increases and the technology progresses. But yeah, it's a definitely challenge to bring this to life experience in all the cases.
Yeah, and then I guess because you're CEO, you don't necessarily get to play around with the technology as much. Is that correct? But you still get to play so well with these difficult challenges.
Well, I talk with my team who at Rust, and like I still keep this passion to technology. So to be honest, it took me some time to learn not to micromanage the R&D team, because like I really wanted to do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like overall, I understand in general terms what's going on there. It's not hard to comprehend.
Yeah. So I'm just going to finish off today's episode with a quick fire round, Sergey. So literally just the first answer that comes into your head. Are you ready? There's going to be 5 questions.
Okay.
Yeah. So what was the last fashion item you tried on?
I think it was off-white jacket from the clothes video internal demo, which we have, which we're going to release soon.
Well, that's going to be cool. Digital or physical?
You know, still physical. I think this is at the end of the day what people still need and will need for many more years to come. Digital, I mean, when you compare both, like digital is a bit gimmicky if we speak about digital fashion as like as an item. But if we speak about what is going to change the world, as I said, digital is changing, but through physical, still through physical.
Yeah, so physical. Your favorite brand that you've worked with to date?
Oh, this is tricky, and particularly if anyone from the other brands will listen to this, they will be upset. I mean, everyone is different to some extent. I would say the first one which I worked with is still like, you know, like your first girlfriend, which is close to your heart. But I won't tell you what was it first. People can search if they want.
Okay, so the first brand that you worked with, very diplomatic. One mistake you want to share so that the fans that are listening, so that they don't make the same mistake.
Well, this is, I know the answer, but it's quite a tricky one. So let's go to people who don't fully aligned with you, right? Who don't believe in the company or in you, who consume your energy. I mean, even if they are strong, even if they contributed a lot to the success of the company, but sometime in the future they see they're not with you or with the company anymore, just finish it as soon as possible. Like, you can make it gently, you can make it with mutual respect, but don't keep people who are not motivated in the company.
I like that answer. Final question, what's your favorite fashion item in your wardrobe?
I think this is the Gucci Ace sneakers I had from a very long time ago. And by the way, this correlates to one of the previous questions you had.
Yeah. Are you a sneakerhead then, Sergey? Am I getting sneakerhead vibes?
Not to the... No, like, I mean, I'm not the sneaker hat in this term. So like I followed it for some time when we launched the sneakers one, but like truly, no, I wouldn't call myself a sneaker hat.
But you still appreciate a good pair of sneakers. Yes, well, thank you so much for your time today, Sergey. How do people get to experience the Wanna platform?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, which is wanna.fashion. You can try video experience right there. So we have web version, so just like either you can use QR code, or if you go on the web you can try it again, straight away. We also have the demo applications called Wanna Kicks and Wanna Wear for iOS, where you can try different sneakers or watches. And soon, stay tuned, we will release the app with the clothes try on with some very cool items to try. You will definitely learn it on our website when it's live.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time, Sergey.
Thank you, Peter, for having me.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to click follow to keep up to date with the latest episodes. And if you like this episode, please give us a review. If you want us to feature a specific theme or guest, please give us a message at beyondform.io. I will see you very soon.